Good afternoon. You are tuned to a Juno Afternoon for Friday, the 21st of August, the year 2015. Jeff Bowden here on a Juno Afternoon. Today, we'll talk to Lance Mitchell and Russ Bullock about the Southeast Alaska Rap Inferno and Saturday's Pole Dancing Workshop. We'll talk with visiting Argentino tango instructor Richard Council. Nancy Barnes will be here to highlight next week's Tsimshian Language Workshop, and we'll get an update on Anchorage's Stick Figures by virtual exhibit. That Writer's Almanac, Inferno, music and more today on a Juno Afternoon. Weather forecast for tonight, slight chance of rain in the evening, and then rain later on, low temperatures 47 to 53 degrees. Forecast for Saturday, rain, high temperatures around 57 degrees.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Younger Navajo generations are taking a positive step forward after the Gold King Mine waste spill devastated the Shiprock, New Mexico area. Byron Shorty points to recent rainwater collected in homemade basins near rows of crops.
No access to the San Juan River, and they caught a pretty good amount of water.
The 23-year-old is a member of the Northern Dene Youth Committee. The group's working to rescue its farm while helping others get by after the August 5th spill caused by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. The group, in its sixth year, includes members ranging in age from about 13 to 25. The main purpose is to create a positive force for younger and future generations who live there.
We've done a lot of activities this summer to just engage with younger people, and we've provided opportunities for them to help out. This farm was one idea that started this.
The group also helped elders plant and prepare their fields, and after the spill, organized a community prayer event.
This is a very trying time. What we're trying to do is to offer a positive development in trying to move forward.
One way they're doing that is a project to transition from using river canal irrigation to a pipe drip system. Zachariah Ben is a farmer born and raised in Shiprock. The 19-year-old says he wants to inspire people with new techniques.
I want them to drive by and see our crop green and seeing their youth out there for the future. After we implement these techniques within our farm, I want to be able to go out and help other people.
Some older farmers in the area are concerned that younger people don't want to farm.
This is our first year as a youth committee planting our own farm. And with that, 20 plus members of kids, and more than half of that, this is their first time farming. The message is already in action. So what I would like to say to those older generations is have hope. Have hope and faith in us younger generation, because we are in action already.
20-year-old Kevin Aspis sees much hope for people in the area.
There's a lot of times that our people have bounced back since the long walks. We've bounced back since the livestock reduction. We've bounced back. And now this has happened on Navajo land. Dene people are strong, resilient people. We've adapted. We've changed.
As the three young men walk down their fields, they look at rows of wilting corn.
The leaves of the plant are starting to curl in towards the middle part of the leaf, and it's pretty bad right now. They haven't gotten moisture. When it curls up very tightly, then you're in trouble.
They say they'll plant again next year and pray for a harvest. The farm teaches many lessons, such as dedication and strong character, now and for the community in the future.
Making sure that our plants survive, because that's kind of like the test of a farmer.
The Navajo Nation held meetings Thursday with farmers and ranchers in Shiprock as it considers reopening the San Juan River. Ground broke Thursday for the First Nations Sculpture Garden in Rapid City, South Dakota. Victoria Wicks reports.
Elizabeth Cook Lynn has been the driving force behind the sculpture garden. She says people who come to the Black Hills and to South Dakota typically don't realize that indigenous people have a modern presence.
Most of what people know about us is either fraudulent or else it's ridiculous.
The sculpture garden will feature busts of four 20th century leaders: lawyer and writer Vindaloria Jr., philosopher Nicholas Black Elk, physician Charles Eastman, and artist Oscar Howe. Eventually, the garden will hold busts of four more leaders. Rapid City Mayor Steve Allender says those four empty pedestals are an important and striking aspect of the garden.
When you look at the sports stars and even the music stars that people look up to today, and so I think that can be changed.
Allender says the central location of the garden is appropriate, and it's important for the community to embrace the project. For National Native News, I'm Victoria Wicks.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation. with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. And by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C.
KNBA and Recover Alaska are seeking inspiring stories of recovery from alcohol addiction. If you or someone you know would like to share a story of recovery as part of an upcoming online and on-air documentary video project, go to knba.org and click Tell Your Story.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
It's 6 minutes past the hour and you are tuned to Juneau Afternoon. Guests in the studio are Russ Bullock and Lance Mitchell here to talk about tonight's Southeast Alaska Rap Inferno and also Sunday's Pole Dancing Workshop. Thank you for coming by the station today.
Thank you.
So for people who do not know, can you define rap?
Define rap as, I'm going to leave this one to you, Russ.
What I think it really is it's just art. And so you can't really define it because it's matters on the person's perspective. That's what art is. You know, you might define it completely different than I do. I just define it as art, and everyone's got their each style. They've got their own style. They've got their own likes. They like what they like. Rap could be completely something different to somebody else, you know, whereas, you know, I could completely love it. I think it's a fun game. It's a fun activity. It's a fun skill to practice, and you can always get better, better and better.
How long have you been practicing this art?
Probably seriously for probably about 5 years. I started about 10 years ago just playing around. But I've been writing a lot more, trying to get an album together. It's a lot of work, but it's fun. It's great.
What are your songs about?
Me. It's just about me and my friends and stuff we do. Partying, hanging out, driving cars, my work, whatever it is.
Lance, you've been doing rap for how long?
I've been working with rappers for about 4 or 5 years, seriously.
What attracts you to it as an art form?
I think it's similar to poetry, basically. It's poetry done to music. There's various things that rap can be about. It could be about the day, the sunshine, rolling in the car, hanging with your girl, going to the club, you know, even going to the grocery store or going to the thrift shop, wherever, whatever. You know, I think that's what rap is. It's just storytelling.
Tell me about tonight's event.
Tonight's event is going to be a bunch of locals. We got Big Mano, Big E, Dangerous, which is next to me, T-Bone, Brian Mills, possibly a new artist named AK Next. And
we got Iceberg Killer from Huna.
Iceberg Killer from Huna. John from the Wolf Pack, and Chief. They will also be there.
And what time does it start?
It starts at 9 o'clock tonight at the Suite 907.
How long did it take you to gather the musicians together?
Once they realized it was an event for locals, they pretty much it came together pretty quickly within an amount of days.
Did do it really quickly, actually. I was really amazed.
Yeah, they don't have a forum so much where they can go and you know, put their work out there. So they were more than happy to come to the Suite 907 and put on a show for everybody. It's a no cover. So it's just going to be a great time with great people doing what they love to do.
What do they use for background music? Do you have live musicians?
It's possible we might have a guitarist to make some riffs, but mostly it is pre-programmed beats that are made in the studio that they use to rap behind. Kind of like spoken word, you know.
Tell me about the hip-hop award.
Oh, my friend Tarter Pierce and myself, Lance Mitchell, we have a group called Strange Pass, and Strange Pass was nominated for Best Group in Alaska. So on the 26th of September, we'll be flying to perform at the Alaska Hip Hop Awards and maybe win an award. We were nominated for Best Group, as well as another cat named Mike Mercer. He goes by EFA. He was nominated for Battle Rap.
And when is that happening?
That will be in Anchorage on the 26th of September.
Make sure you let us know what's happening.
I will let you know. Everybody will know. Everybody will know.
That's happening tonight, starting at 9 o'clock, the Rap Inferno. And on Saturday, as a pole dancing workshop.
Yes, Lissa Coogan and her students, she started teaching pole dancing as a sport art. It's gone around the country, and people are taking classes and use it as a form of exercise. So she and her students are putting together a show to showcase, you know, their dance moves. They're not strippers. They are, they're like us. Help me out, Russ.
They're just a lot of really nice girls that know some awesome tricks that they can do with a pole.
Mm-hmm.
You should come see them do some of this stuff. It's just incredible.
Yes, it
is. I couldn't even begin to do what they do. They're in amazing shape. Lots of talent.
I wasn't even tempted to do it because I saw the girl's abs and she's got like a six pack, and her. I mean, if I could get on a pole, but I think I'm a little bit too big to get on a pole. But, you know.
See, to get a bigger pole for you, man.
Oh, okay. Then it's got to be a really big pole.
And what time does this start?
The pole dancing starts tomorrow. I think that it starts at...
Doors open at 7:30. Show starts at 9, if I recall correctly. I know that that's a $10 cover charge. If you want the front row, it's $20. But I believe that it opens up at 7:30.
Yes, VIP is $20.
Cool. That's
And the regular admission is $10.
It's happening tomorrow.
It's happening Saturday at the Suite 907.
All right. As Mitchell and Russ Bullock, thank you for coming down to the station. Is there anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
I hope everybody comes out. If you are under 18 and want to come to the show, you need to bring a guardian. You will be allowed to be in, but you have to come with your mommy or daddy.
All right, thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
I'm the king of rock. There is none higher. Sucker MC should call me sire. To burn my kingdom, you must use fire. I won't stop rocking till I retire. Now we rock the party. It's so correct. All cuts are on time. And rhyme connect. Got the right to vote. And we'll elect. And other rappers can't stand us, but give us respect. We'll be right back.
Run DMC. Hey, everyone. Andy Klein with you. I want to thank Jeff Brown for filling in when I was late. I just was late to Juneau Afternoon. And thanks to Lance and Russ for coming in, telling us about the Southeast Alaska Rap Inferno that's coming up, and also that really fun-sounding pole dancing workshop that's going to be happening, that new type of amazing fitness and that very cool thing that's happening also Saturday over at Suite 907. Both of those things happening there. We've got folks coming up in just a little bit. We'll be hearing from Nancy Barn, who's going to be talking about the Tsimshian language workshop, and also Anchorage's Stick Figures virtual exhibit. We're going to get an update on that. We'll talk to folks who are helping put that together. We got Writer's Almanac coming up in just a second. Bird Note also coming up, and a lot more ahead for you on a Juneau Afternoon. Thanks for staying tuned.
Is the Writer's Almanac for Friday, the 21st of August, 2015. It's the birthday of the novelist Robert Stone, born Brooklyn, 1937, raised by his mother, who was schizophrenic, and when she went into an institution, he went into a Catholic orphanage. Sometimes he and his mother would drive cross-country and end up in a Salvation Army shelter or a random hotel. He said, "My early life was very strange. I was a solitary. Radio fashioned my imagination. Dropped out of high school, joined the Navy, moved to New York City, worked as a copy boy at the Daily News, went briefly to NYU, got married, moved to New Orleans, and there he was inspired to write his first novel entitled A Hall of Mirrors, which came out in 1967. Robert Stone served as a correspondent in Vietnam for a British magazine, where he got material to come home and write the novel Dog Soldiers. It came out in 1974, story of a burnt-out playwright, John Converse, who leaves the fading counterculture of California to work as a correspondent in Vietnam and ends up smuggling heroin out of the country. It won the National Book Award. Robert Stone said, "Writing is lonely. Most of the time you're in a room by yourself. Writers spend more time in rooms, staying awake in quiet rooms, than they do hunting lions in Africa. So it's a bad life for a person because it's so lonely and because it consists of such highs and lows. And there's not always anywhere to take these emotional states. It's a life that's tough to sustain without falling prey to some kind of beguiling diversion that's not good for you." Here's a poem for today by William Stafford, "A Ritual to Read to Each Other." If you don't know the kind of person I am, and I don't know the kind of person you are, a pattern that others made may prevail in the world, and following the wrong God home, we may miss our star. For there is many a small betrayal in the mind, a shrug that lets the fragile sequence break, sending with shouts the horrible errors of childhood storming out to play through the broken dike. And as elephants parade, holding each elephant's tail, but if one wanders, the circus won't find the park. I call it cruel, and maybe the root of all cruelty, to know what occurs, but not recognize the fact. And so I appeal to a voice, to something shadowy, a remote, important region in all who talk. Though we could fool each other, we should consider, lest the parade of our mutual life get lost in the dark. For it is important that awake people be awake, or a breaking line may discourage them back to sleep. The signals we give, yes or no, or maybe, should be clear. The darkness around us is deep. William Stafford's poem, A Ritual to Read to Each Other, from his collection Stories That Could Be True, published by Harper and Row, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, offering the weekly poetry podcast, Poetry Off the Shelf, featuring contemporary American poets, readings, reviews, and more. Subscriptions at poetryfoundation.org/poetrypodcast. And by LegalZoom, for over 10 years providing legal solutions for business owners, families, and individuals, including incorporation, LLCs, wills, and living trusts. LegalZoom.com. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Always great advice from Garrison Keillor there. And with me next on the phone here on a Juno afternoon is Naomi Hudwada. Naomi, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing great. And tell me a little bit, this is a very interesting project that's going on, a Stick Figure AK, or Anchorage's Stick Figures Virtual Exhibit. Tell me a little bit about what people can expect if they run into this exhibit and how they find it.
All right. The Stick Figure AK is a online exhibit, like you were saying, right now, but it will actually be transitioning to a print exhibit, and everyone in Alaska is invited to participate so that they can actually have stick figures that they've created be part of the online gallery, and then if they get enough likes, they can actually be part of a coffee table book, which is super exciting. This is unique to Alaska. It's never been done before in any other state, and we have such a large state that we're just really excited about inviting everyone from every corner to participate, so that way we can capture a visual representation of who we are as a state. So our different cultures, our different personalities, what we like to do, what we like to eat, and that can all be represented through something as simple as a stick figure. So we've had stick figures submitted made out of all kinds of food products, out of art products, built, drawn, all kinds of stick figures. And what we're doing, and the reason why we're doing this, is we're asking everyone in Alaska to create up to 3 stick figures, submit them, just to celebrate really their human ability to create. You know, every single one of us, we create something. So we create words, we create pictures, we create sounds. And when we do that, we're reflecting something about who we are as a unique person. And so if you visit the online collective at ak.stickfigurecollective.com, again, that's ak.stickfigurecollective.com, you can start seeing kind of like this collective of different personalities all coming together through stick figures.
It's a really interesting thing to think about that, you know, I'm someone who I feel like I can't draw. You know, I can't do that. And then to say, well, no, you have something that's probably an artistic expression that you want to make, and you can do it visually, and you can, as you say, use something just as simple as a stick figure.
Exactly.
It's an interesting thing. How did that kind of come about? Is this part of a larger thing that's going on, or is this something that came straight out of AK?
Well, it came straight out of Alaska. I mean, we came up with it here at the Ark of Anchorage, and we were trying to figure out a way to raise awareness about what our vision is at the Ark of Anchorage. And really, the Ark of Anchorage is part of a national nonprofit called the Ark. So we all share the same vision, but we were trying to figure out what's a way that we can really, you know, help all of Alaska really just embrace this vision that we have. And the vision is to have a community that recognizes and embraces people of all abilities, because the Ark of Anchorage serves specifically people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. So we have all kinds of programs, like from our support and employment program to our art studio and gallery on D Street, downtown Anchorage, to community living services, where we're trying so hard to allow, you know, people that experience some form of disability to be able to be integrated into the community, thrive in the community. But we really wanted everyone to be able to experience this for themselves. So like you were saying, some people are intimidated through visual expression, and they, and it's a scary adventure to even go think about doing something like that. But we've had such an amazing people coming together. We've had a group of guys. They maintain Coast Guard radios, and they're based in Wasilla. They created an 8-foot stick figure called James's Creature. He's made out of junkyard parts and all kinds of cool stuff. They welded him together. We've had kids submit things. We've had several submissions from Southeast. So we've had a submission from Ketchikan, Admiralty Island, and Wrangell, Alaska. Those are where the stick figures are created at.
That's good to hear. Yeah, well, we got to have we got to get some Juneau and Gustavus people involved as well, huh?
We do. Yeah. We have not had a Juneau yet at all. And you know, with the I would love, even if you don't want to create stick figure, go on there and like the stick figures from Southeast, because that way they can be in the coffee table book. But we are definitely hoping that everyone, like you said, like all of your listeners, can jump on board and really represent Southeast in a big way.
And when you go on to this ak.stickfigurecollective.com, it's really a fun site. Like, I'm looking at it right now. There's the stick figures made of crab legs and made of like feathers and all kinds of different ways of representing a form. I suppose it doesn't even have to be a human form, right? You could do a stick figure of a horse or a dog or a moose or a deer or anything that you wanted to do a stick figure of as well, I'm guessing.
Well, I think we have, like, with the stick figure, we have one where we've had two stick figures walking their dogs.
That's fun.
So, and then we've had some stick figures fishing.
Sure.
So, yeah, we've had several stick figure forms come together where the stick figure is interacting with stick animals. So definitely is very cool. If you go to that website, there's the instructions are right there on the homepage of how you can enter. So you can use your social media account, so you can use an email to enter your stick figures. And then there's the gallery button, and that's where you can view all the ones. We've had over 180 submissions so far from, like I said, all over the state.
That's great. And a lot of this is a social media platform as well. So it's a hashtag. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a hashtag campaign in large part, right? So hashtag stick figure AK is what you can hashtag your stuff on Instagram, Facebook, I'm guessing Twitter as well, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so if you have a Instagram or a Twitter account and you just publicly post your stick figure with the hashtag StickFigureAK, it automatically goes in and gets submitted to me, and I'll approve it and put it into the gallery. You can go to our Facebook, the Arc of Anchorage Facebook, and submit it with the hashtag. You can use entry form, the email. There's lots of different ways. And for minors, there's a minor submission form, so that way we have the parents' permission. So if you do know, if any of the listeners have someone in their life that they think would have a great time doing this and they're under 18, they are more than welcome to still participate, even if they don't have a social media account.
Great. And tell us a little bit about what can be won. This is sort of a contest, too. It's also a collective and just a fun expression for people. But then there's also the added benefit that you could actually win.
Yes, so there is definitely incentive. So, like you said, the Digital Collective is a permanent online collective where we're going to be able to come together and represent. But we're going to have a coffee table book. So the way to get your stick figure into the coffee table book is you get it in the gallery, then you get all your friends, and it is a Facebook liking mechanism. So all your friends on Facebook, all your friends or family, to like your stick figure. And if you're one of the top 100 liked stick figures, then your stick figure will actually be printed in a coffee table book. And then if you're one of the top five, and you get a free gift, and then the top five will get a free book in addition, and then a top three will get a $100 gift card as well.
All right. So, yeah, there's some definite incentive to get on in this and just create something and hashtag it. So are there ways that you're suggesting that people get the image? Are these typically things that are are they physical objects that people are doing and taking pictures of, or are people also doing digital stuff and then submitting that, or what kind of?
It does have to be created, so we're not it has to be like drawn or created somehow, and then of course a digital photograph of your creation. So we have, like, I don't know, all kinds of things. We've had a juggling stick figure made out of those balloons that you can twist around and do that. We've had stick figures made out of pasta. We've had stick figures made of parrot feathers, which is a really cool, colorful one. We've had stick figures made out of, beading, really intricate beading, and then We've had some that do represent very specific Alaskan culture, like drawing fish, or like I mentioned, the fishing earlier, drumming, some really cool
right.
diverse stuff. So we've had a salmon slayer on there. It was actually made out of fresh salmon that were just caught. So
that's such a fun thing because it's you start with a very simple concept that everybody can do, and then it allows people to just explore their creativity without having the barrier to like technique or things like that to have to worry mm-hmm. about. Yeah.
Yeah, the one from Admiralty Island, actually, the submitter is actually from Douglas, but they made it on Admiralty Island. And this is another one, I don't know if they surpassed the eight foot guy from Wasilla or not, but this stick figure is huge, and it's a hula dancer, Alaskan hula dancer stick figure, and it's just a humongous stick figure. You have to go check it out.
All right, so you can check all that stuff out at ak.stickfigurecollective.com. But if you want to be part of this, you can either go to that same website, akstickfigurecollective.com, and there's a entry form, or you can just hashtag it on Instagram or Twitter, or you can go to the Ark of Anchorage Facebook wall, and you can submit it there. You just post it on the Ark of Anchorage Facebook wall, and then it's there, and you can hashtag it, stickfigureak, as well.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Naomi. It sounds like a really fun project. When's it all? What are sort of the deadlines, and when do people have to submit this stuff by?
So the deadline is coming up. You have until September 1st to enter. So we that might sound like far away, but we only have like 11 days left. So get your entries in by September 1st. You can get voting through September 7th. So even if you don't enter until September 1st, you still have a week after that to really get, your votes and your likes up.
Okay, sounds great. It's the Stick Figure Project, Stick Figures AK, and that's the hashtag. Naomi Hoodwada, thanks so much for calling in. We really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much
for
having me today.
Terrific. To a Juno afternoon, where next in the studio with us is Nancy Barnes. Nancy, thanks so much for coming.
Thank you.
Nancy's here to talk a little bit about the. Now, I'm going to mispronounce it. I know, but then let me say the Tsimshian. Is that correct? It's a Tsimshian language of Tsimshian. It's a workshop about that.
Yes.
And then tell me how we pronounce the mini immersion class.
It's a Shimalgyak.
Shimalgyak.
And that is the language of the Tsimshian people.
That's the description of the language itself.
Yes.
Okay. Well, so tell me a little. This is utterly fascinating. You've got David Boxley, who's a language teacher and also master carver, who's going to be creating this workshop. Yeah.
Well, yeah, David, I've known him for a long time, and he called me. He's going to be coming up here for the week for Sealaska Heritage Institute. all of next week, and he's going to be teaching Formline at the Lemon Creek Correctional Center.
So tell me about Formline.
Well, it's because he's here, it's art.
Okay.
He's teaching art there.
I see. Okay.
And so he said, I'm going to be tied up during the day. He said, you want to do language in the evening? And I said, well, I'll get some people together.
Yeah. That's...
And so I think we have 24 now signed up for the class, and it's going to be Monday through Thursday from 6 to 9 every night.
Wow. So in a short amount of time, I mean, fairly immersive, really, for folks. 3 hours a night for four nights in a row. It's it seems like you really will come away after 4 days with a much deeper understanding of the language.
Yeah, so we're pretty excited about using his time because he's just one of the best.
Have you attended classes by him before? Or?
A little bit with him. I've had other teachers as well.
So does he have a specific technique to how he runs the class? What could people sort of expect if they were to attend?
We're going to have lots of objects. He gave me a list of probably 30 or 40 objects that
you
I'm
have to go on a scavenger
weekend.
Hunt for.
Yes, and I'm putting them in a box, so that's all I know. So we'll be doing lots of, using objects and conversation.
Mostly traditional objects or natural objects found in the environment?
Just natural things like coats and hats and a lot of different things.
Yeah. And so those are kind of those will be kind of the building blocks around which you kind of will learn those words and how those are described. And then those are the building blocks around which you can kind of build out the language knowledge.
Yes. Yeah. And then, that and also, conversation and introduction. So it'll be pretty intensive. That's why I'm calling it a mini immersion.
So how can you tell me a little bit about how David Boxley has been someone who's retain this language and is how this has become something that he seems like it's sort of something that is it's not a common knowledge to have necessarily. So to be able to teach that language, how has he come about that?
Well, he grew up with someone that he grew up that way in Metlakatla, and he's very passionate about it because we're really worried about our language. There's not a lot of fluent speakers left. There's a group of young people in Metlakatla that have started another nonprofit called the Hayuk Foundation. And it's David Boxley, his son, that's involved with that and some other young people. And it's recently started. It's to preserve, promote, and revitalize the Chemalgek language and the history, laws, and traditions. And they're actually going to be a co-sponsor of this event and going to do a little contribution. We're going to use it for snacks and food and things like that.
Do you know what the range, kind of the geographic range of where that language, at its peak was spoken?
Well, in Canada and then in Metlakatla, Alaska, Metlakatla, British Columbia, and then in on the Nansen-Skeena River as well.
And is there knowledge, a historical knowledge about why there was that sort of pocket of a distinct language that grew there?
I don't know. I could just tell you that it's a language isolate. It's not connected to any other. So I always found that really interesting.
That is interesting. So it's not really related to some of the Tlingit tribes were speaking or that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's like, how the Tlingit, Navajo, Athabasca, they're all kind of one area, but the Chemalgek language is a distinct isolate.
Hmm. So it seems like because of that, it's maybe in that much more danger of, at some point being forgotten or at least, as you say, not having people that are able to fluently speak it and sort of have the fluidity of how it should flow, how it should be spoken, that sort of thing.
Yes. And so we decided, since he's up here, it's just a perfect opportunity for those of us that are learners. I've been learning, for many years through different people and have a lot of materials, but to have someone like him here that's willing to give us his time after teaching all day is just amazing.
Seems like a long day for him. Yeah.
he's got a very, him and his son, Davy Boxley. They've got a very, just a passion about the language like many people do.
Well, how can people get involved in this? Are there still openings in the class?
We've got just a few openings, and if anybody's interested, they should contact me as soon as possible. There's probably only maybe two or three spaces left. And they can email me at bossyeagle@yahoo.com.
Okay. That's Bossy Eagle.
Bossy Eagle, that's me.
@yahoo.com.
Or they can call me at 957-4588.
Okay, great.
But we're pretty full, but enough for about three or four people maybe.
Again, it's 6 to 9 p.m. It's going from August 24th to the 27th, and it's at the Walter Soboleff Building, the beautiful new facility. It's right downtown on the second floor in the Living History Center. Such a wonderful facility to have now. And this seems like such a perfect kind of thing that just seems so perfect for that for that facility. It was sort of one of the things it was built for, to preserve heritage like this.
Yeah, and of course, when you walk into the building, you'll see the panel, the panel that David Boxley did. So you can't miss it.
Oh, I didn't realize he's the one who carved that panel as well. It's so beautiful.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, of course, he had help with his son. It's just amazing. I have to mention, I just found out the very first night we're going to be on the third floor, and the rest of the night will be on the second, but we'll have signs. And I think it's going to be an amazing event and probably a lot of laughter and fun, I think, at the same time. We had a language group here in Juneau, just probably maybe six or seven of us for years, and we got together and practiced. But looking forward to starting that up again.
And is this one of the languages that you tried to practice at that group?
Yeah, the only language.
This is the language that you concentrated on.
Yeah.
Okay. Is this your heritage, this language?
It is.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right. So it's definitely an area of interest for you as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, once again, it's a mini immersion class.
Mm-hmm.
Help me with the name again.
Shmalgiach.
Shmalgiach.
Yes.
Is that right?
Shim is true. Algiach is to speak. It's the true language.
That's a really poetic way of describing a language. It's the language of the Tsimshian. And David Boxley will be here. Master Carver, which I hadn't put together that he's the one that carved that panel in the new Walter Soboleff building that's just so gorgeous as you look at the side of the building. It's happening 6 to 9 p.m., just a couple of openings, but starting on the 24th and going through the 27th.
Yes.
So Nancy Barnes is at bossyeagle@yahoo.com if you want to get a hold of her, or at 957-4588. Just a couple of openings. Nancy, thanks so much for coming in and letting us know about this class.
Oh, you're
it's great
welcome.
To see you.
Thank you.
Okay, here's Bird Note.
This is Bird Note. What animal is 2 feet long, runs like the wind, loves cactus, catches lizards, snakes, and scorpions, and has feathers? What if I add that it is the most famous bird of the Southwest and has had a long run as a cartoon character? Roadrunner, of course! Bird experts know it as the greater roadrunner. There's a lesser roadrunner in southern Mexico. Let's listen to its true voice. Sounds rather like a lonely puppy, doesn't it? The soft cooing voice hints at its connections to other birds. Scientists group roadrunners with the cuckoos. The greater roadrunner is a common species in the desert and brush country of the Southwest, but its full range reaches from California to western Louisiana. For example, driving near Tucson, you might spot a greater roadrunner along the roadside, standing atop a boulder, eyeing you carefully. As you slow down, it raises and then lowers its crest, showing off the blue skin behind its eye. The tail levers to a high angle, then slowly pivots downward. The roadrunner is poised, ready to sprint, ready to outrun you, or that coyote, again. In case you're wondering, the bird does fly, albeit infrequently. Catch the roadrunner at our website, birdnote.org. I'm Michael Stein.
So
Support comes from Northland Audiology and Hearing Services in the Jordan Creek Center. Northland Audiology offers diagnostic medical hearing expertise and digital technology hearing instruments. 789-6780.
Her.
Ugh.
She was a wonderful talent. She was a mess.
She was a bit of a mess,
but she was a talent. And I'm in the studio now with Annie Bartholomew, Annie B. over at KXLL. And you guys are doing a really cool thing tonight, a double feature with the movie Amy and then the
montage of Heck,
which is the amazingly reviewed documentary about Nirvana and Kurt Cobain specifically. So thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Happening over at the Goldtown Nickelodeon.
Yep.
Starting when, 7?
Yep, starts at 7 o'clock, and then we're going to begin with Amy. But you got to come early, because we are going to have trivia and a memorabilia competition. And
how does a memorabilia competition?
I was just like, best
memorabilia.
Yeah. Okay. I'm hoping people bring like their old
grungy
vinyl
stuff,
like,
or whatever. Yeah.
You know, the Kurt Cobain. I don't know. So when I was in middle school, like, everybody loved Nirvana, and we didn't like actually love Nirvana. We just wanted to love Nirvana so bad. Like, Hot Topic, like, marketed Kurt Cobain to us, and we just ate it up. And like, I still feel something when I like listen to In Bloom and some of the tracks. But, you know, it wasn't a real love. It was like
It wasn't. So the second I heard Nirvana, I'm obviously older.
Yeah.
And so I was more in the, in my mid-20s when Nirvana came out. So to me, that was just like, oh, this is new.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a bomb.
But I was like 13, 14. Like,
right.
Nirvana wasn't written for 13-year-old girls.
I remember I put it, I think the first... Well, not their first album, Bleach, but their second album, Nevermind, the one that went huge.
Oh, yeah.
That I remember getting in the KTOO old studios that used to be in where Rainbow Foods is now. And playing it in 91. I think it was in 91 when it came out.
Did you get any complaints?
No. I mean,
I had an alternative.
I had like an alternative show I was doing, Midnight Capers. For those who remember, back in the old days.
The old hours.
And, but I remember putting that on and just like going, oh man, this is it. In Bloom was a big one. I didn't even play Smells Like Teen Spirit at first because I just didn't happen to listen to it. I hadn't heard anything about them, so
yeah.
I didn't know it was this massive, you know, hit. So I didn't even play that song for weeks. I was playing Lithium a lot though. That's always been my favorite. In fact, we'll hear that in a minute. So anyway, this documentary, the montage of Heck, tell me a little bit about what have you heard about the documentary itself?
So the documentary focuses on Kurt Cobain's life and his life as an artist. And of course, it's going to talk about the substance abuse and those sides, but it interviews his family members, people close to him, and showcases him as an artist. He was a really talented graphic artist as well, and you see some of that work. So I'm excited. They've, like, done animations out of his drawings from the reviews that I've heard. So I'm really looking forward to seeing, like, his other stuff. They said Kurt would have always been an artist.
Yeah.
Music was just the reason he got famous for
it.
and suffered with a lot of mental health issues, certainly.
And I think that it's one of those things where the intensity of the fame that he got was something that he wasn't really had the capacity to deal with in the end.
No, definitely not. And wasn't what he wanted.
Right. He wanted to just be an artist that was sort of expressing himself. And he also was a champion of other artists. I know that the first time I ever heard of Daniel Johnston.
Yeah, because he was wearing the T-shirt.
And then, wow, Daniel Johnston. Here's this amazing, very bizarre, interesting artist happening out of Texas. But anyway.
There's a really great documentary on him called The Devil and Daniel Johnston.
Fantastic.
Which I'm hoping we bring eventually because that...
I can't recommend that movie enough.
I love it.
It's a great movie.
And then Amy is happening first, of course. Amy Winehouse.
So Amy Winehouse is I think Amy Winehouse has... There's a funny thing about her, I mean, and it's related to Kurt Cobain and Courtney Love in a way, which is that she sort of became such a kind of mess, right, you would have to say, that she almost became like a joke.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Until she died, then it was obviously sad, but up until that point, it was just like this train wreck that you could see happening. But there was something that was a little bit disturbing about how people just abandoned the original thing that was amazing about her, which is that she was bringing this whole new sound of music and redefining, bringing new soul and all that kind of amazing stuff that was happening. She had a great producer that she was working with that was doing incredible stuff.
Mark Ronson,
who was, you know, really kind of doing some incredible stuff. But that idea of bringing that London sound in was really new, and she was the one that championed it, and she was the one that was doing it.
And she was an incredible musician, besides her singing and dancing and drinking. You know, she was a jazz guitarist and jazz musician, and I'm really looking forward to seeing those clips of her. There have been a lot of really good Terry Gross interviews about the movie, and you can just see everything unfold.
Yeah. And it's one of those things, too. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, anyway, to me, we'll look back on Amy Winehouse, and I think more and more it's going to happen. You'll look back more on her as like this, you know, as a Janis Joplin, amazing lost talent, rather than, oh, she was such a god, why did she have to go down that road? Which, of course, is also true. You don't want to see people do that, but substance abuse is a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
It can happen to good people.
Definitely.
Right? Yeah.
But I have some trivia if we
let's
have time
hear it.
For it.
Yeah, let's.
So,
we're getting a little deep and dark here. Sorry.
Yeah, let's lighten the mood.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay, trivia. Which about who first?
Let's start with Amy.
Okay.
You already answered the Mark Ronson question.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Sorry.
What was the
Jump
name
ahead.
Of the New York band that recorded Back to Black with Amy Winehouse?
The New York band that recorded Back to Black?
Brooklyn.
Is it the Killers or someone like that?
No. Come on, Andy.
I don't know.
The Dap Kings.
Oh, the Dap Kings.
The Dap Kings.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Sharon Jones.
Sharon Jones
band.
And the Dap Kings, yeah.
Okay.
That tricked me a little because she didn't actually record with them.
Yeah, she did.
No.
They're all over the album.
But here's what I heard happened.
Okay.
Mark Ronson got them to just record a whole bunch of different musical interludes that he used as samples and then dropped in. But she wasn't actually playing with live musicians, from my understanding. Am I wrong?
I
might be wrong about that.
I wasn't there.
I wasn't either. I mean, I'm sure the documentary will answer this. But I thought that one of the things that Mark Ronson was doing, he did that with Lily Allen, did it with other people too. But he was recording original. He wasn't going back to vinyl and having to pay licensing fees. He just hired the Dap Kings and said, play this riff. And he recorded the riff, and then he looped the riff. And that's what they were singing over, was this looped riff.
There is one song on that album where they do sample Marvin Gaye, Tammy Terrell.
Yeah, that's right.
That's one. And I'm pretty sure that one is the actual sample.
Yeah.
But I'll have to see it.
I know. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, good, though. That's good. You're right. I'm not saying that there was an incorrect. I was wrong.
Please don't come to the movie tonight.
I didn't get it.
You can
okay.
win all the prizes.
Here we go.
Okay. Why couldn't Amy Winehouse attend the 2008 Grammy Awards that she won 6 awards at?
Was she in rehab?
Yes.
Of course. That's the most obvious answer.
Okay. Moving on to a game I like to call Cobain, Cornell, Staley, Better.
Oh, God. Okay.
From Kurt Cobain.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
You got it. Okay. Who has the most Grammys? Eddie Vedder, Chris Cornell, or...
Four.
Staley.
Who's Staley? Alice in Chains?
Yeah.
So who has the most Grammys out of those?
Yep.
I'll bet Cornell.
No. Eddie Vedder.
Well, that's the obvious answer. I was going on obvious.
Come on. This is Juno.
Okay. I just thought, ugh. Cornell. Okay. I'll bet Cornell does.
What was the name?
No, I like, hey, Soundgarden. I'm into it. Okay.
They only had two albums. I learned that.
But Black Hole Sun.
Soundgarden had more. Yeah. I was thinking of Alice in Chains.
Yes.
Just so much grunge.
What is it? Something in a Jar? Flies in a Jar? Is that what it is?
They did like two demos. Okay. Second question. You already know it. What was the name of Kurt Cobain's wife, and what was the name of her band? And name one song. Andy Klein.
Well, live through this whole... Courtney Love, yes. We already said that.
Oh, man.
But, yeah. Live Through This, I guess, is the name of the album.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe I missed it. I named the name of the album, not a name of a song.
You don't get the KXL pint glass.
Liberty Skin? Is that the name of one?
That's one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be giving away a lot of public radio swag there. I have a tote bag, some pint glasses, maybe a sweatshirt.
By the way,
yours if you come to the Gold Town today.
That album is great. Now, a lot of people want to claim that Kurt wrote most of the songs on that album. What do you think?
I don't think
so. It was so good.
I think Courtney is like an artist in her own right. And like, there was a sound guy who released tapes from a recording where mm-hmm. she just sounds awful. And everybody claimed it as like the revenge of the sound guy. But I'm like, that's rock and roll. That's Courtney Love.
Right.
Like, she's doing what she does.
Awful.
Nobody.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Exactly.
Right.
So we're really stoked to be having these movies. Costa is helping us put it on. If you can't catch the show tonight, but you should, they're also going to be running during the week. So.
Very good. So any special fund? It says how does this contribute to KXLL? Is the proceeds at the door going to KXLL?
It's just.
Or is it just fun?
It's just for fun.
It's not even a nonprofit.
We're
just,
trying to like break back into the scene.
You're just doing it.
We want to be your source for cool music.
I love it. You're just doing it.
And I'm going to dress as Amy Winehouse.
That's the draw.
And then when Montage of Heck comes on, I'm just going to like take out my beehive and put on sunglasses and a hoodie, and then I'm going to be Amy Cobain.
And you're Cobain.
Yeah.
I love it. You could be Grohl.
Oh, I could be Grohl.
Yeah.
That was another one of my questions.
What was?
What's the name of Dave Grohl's band?
Oh, because that's not a real question you're going
to
ask.
You know, we have
to... So simple. You have to ask hard ones. You know, what was the name of the original drummer from Nirvana?
Do you know it?
No.
Well, I have, like, who played drums in Nirvana before Dave Grohl.
That's what I mean.
Stole the limelight.
Oh, okay.
There were several. They had a rotating cast of drummers. I learned a lot about Nirvana today.
Very good.
More than I ever learned wearing Nevermind t-shirts at Hot Topic.
Annie B. coming over from KXLL. It's happening tonight. It's a double feature. Amy and then Montage of Heck.
All about
Nirvana and Amy Winehouse. Two,
I'm probably going to cry.
And Kurt Cobain, yes, two lost souls of rock and roll, man. I mean, they're wonderful, both of them, great artists, and it is sad that they're both gone.
Well, thanks for... Oh!
And
what's happening
tomorrow night?
Oh, tomorrow night? Oh, man.
We got about a minute. Let's go.
See Scott Fry and the Open Mic All-Stars is happening at the Juno Arts and Culture Center. It's going to be an open mic style variety show, moving super fast. We got a lot of great artists, Adam Wood, before he leaves town. I'm doing a set. Rylan Bueller and Kyle Harris are doing a set. It's just going to be really fast, really fun. Alaskan Brewing Company donated some beer to it. K&L is doing a wine tasting starting at 7, lasting for 2 hours.
Very cool.
Scott's going to be there. He's going to be on stage.
Nice. I'll be emceeing.
Andy Klein's going to be emceeing.
I love it.
It's going to be very rock and roll. It's going to be very folky. And you're going to be able to listen to the music in a quiet kind of atmosphere.
Sounds great.
Away from the loudness.
It's all happening tomorrow. It's at the Jack.
Starts
at 7. And tonight, starting at 7, Amy and this band, Nirvana. Thanks, Annie B.
Thanks, Annie.
This is KTOO Juno. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juno and Douglas. We also rebroadcast on translators K276AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K210AM in Gustavus, K220BT in Hoonah, and K210AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI Cable on digital channel 871. We're also on